If you would not take your Bibles, you may need a second to get there to the book of Obadiah. Obadiah. As a youth director, I used to say, open your Bibles to the book of Hezekiah. And kids would get to flip. And then I'd remind them after about 3 or 4 minutes that they had trouble finding it, that there is no Hezekiah in the Bible, but there is an Obadiah. And I want to preach tonight on this from this book. And I don't really know exactly how the Lord's going to lead. I've studied and studied and studied and loved this passage of Scripture. And I think it's very helpful. Obadiah is anointed and by God, filled by His Holy Spirit, to share a message with us, recorded in God's Word in the minor prophets, a message of condemnation on the nation of Edom. And it's applicable. The great sin of Edom was the sin of pride. They had come to a place where they were so puffed up, they had encamped themselves in the cliffs of Petra, and they thought they were undefeatable even by God. And Obadiah sends a great message to us. As you find it there, you can go to Matthew and turn back a few books and get the book of Obadiah. It's one chapter, 21 verses. And a wonderful story. I'm going to read it to you in just a moment. I'll give an introduction, a little bit about the book of Obadiah. Obadiah gives a great contrast between the nation Edom and the nation Israel. Let's back up a little bit. This conflict between these two nations begins a long, long time ago between two little boys. They were born at the same time. They were twins. The first one was born red all over. The second one was born with his hand to his brother's heel. They grew up very different. One was a hairy man with a great desire to hunt and to kill and to a man of the world, a man of the flesh. The other was a softer guy, a shepherd, a man interested in the things of God. God said of the two boys in the womb that the older would serve the younger. We know their names to be. Who is the older? 1, 2, 3. Esau. Who was the younger? Jacob. Esau and Jacob. Out of Esau and Jacob come two great nations. Jacob's name later becomes Israel. And the nation of Israel comes out of Jacob. And to this day, Israel is a wonderful nation, a nation that we as God's children and the saved should support. I want to tell you this, we should support the nation of Israel without apology. We should support it faithfully. To neglect to support the nation of Israel is a death blow to our country and to ourselves. But I want to say this. To neglect to embrace the God of Israel on a personal level, on a national level, is a greater travesty than to neglect the nation. I'm afraid that to neglect and turn our backs on the nation of Israel is a sign that long ago we've turned our backs on the God of Israel. And Israel, what a great nation. Jacob makes the nation of Israel. Esau makes the nation of Edom. Edom as a nation followed in the footsteps of their father. They were evil type people, and the history of Edom is fascinating, and I'm not a scholar by any means, but to read some of the things that the Edomites were guilty of, they were savage type people. And especially in regards to Israel, there was always a chip on their shoulder about Jacob. There was always a chip on their shoulder about the nation of Israel. And over again through history, Edom turned its back on God. I personally am of the conviction that Obadiah had an understanding of some of the things that the Edomites had done in regard to the nation of Israel. And God inspires this man to write of their imminent doom. And we find this book, Obadiah. Look with me in the Scriptures, if you would, beginning in verse number 1. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rocks, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the great gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. In the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither shouldest thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the heathen. As thou hast done, it shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. For as ye have drunk upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines. And they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. All saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. The conclusion of this chapter, book of the Bible, the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Now, this is a very seemingly graphic account of what God is doing and what God will do. I want to be reminded that it pays to serve the Lord, and it costs very dearly to turn your back on Him. And we have this issue and this interest as God shares with us what happens to Edom. and what happens to nations that turn their back on God, and what happens to people who reject a Savior and a loving Lord. What great lessons. The sin of Edom was a sin of pride. Look what the Bible says, if you would, in verse number 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. And we understand that it's not long until Edom is cut down to the ground. Oh, you know something? Pride is a besetting sin to so many of God's people. Pride. And pride in the book of Obadiah reaches its end and its death and destruction. I want you to leave your finger there in the book of Obadiah and look at a couple of verses of Scripture with me. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. Will you look there with me? Proverbs 29 and verse 23. I want to take our time and get there and look at it. Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. The Bible says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Turn back a few pages, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13, a life-changing principle from God's Word. It's found in Proverbs 13, verse 10. Proverbs 13:10, the Bible says, only. That's a pretty exclusive word, is it not? Are there any exceptions when the Bible says only? No. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 11, verse 2, back just a page in my Bible. Proverbs 11, verse number 2. The Bible says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. You know, pride is a terrible sin. A terrible sin, but it shows itself in so many ways. I must confess, I'm a prideful person. There are certain flaws about me that I don't care if anybody ever finds out. Because of my pride. You know, we want to exalt ourselves to above human in our reputation so often, but pride causes grief. Have you ever had a fuss with your wife? Have you ever had a fuss with your husband? Have you ever had a fuss with a family member or a loved one? You know, the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Pride is a sin that begins in very simple things. I want you to know something. My kids despise to say they were wrong. They don't like to get a spanking. But I honestly believe that Hudson would rather get a spanking as to admit he was wrong. He got in big trouble the other day. I said, whose fault is it? Hudson, whose fault is it? I said, you better tell me whose fault it is, boy. Mine. And he didn't like it. Pride. Pride shows up in some of the most awful places. It makes us do some of the most awful things. But pride is a sin that leads to far greater and more terrible and awful things. Just imagine how Esau could have changed the tide of history if he had swallowed his pride. And then I want to think back through my life, and I want to think through circumstances in my life. What would have happened if I had swallowed my pride and admitted I was wrong? Somebody taught me a long time a very wonderful way to be happily married. It's this statement: you're right, I'm wrong, please forgive me. I hate saying that, but I have to. And there are times when my wife has to say that. And there's times when I have to go to people I love and people I work with and people in this church, and I need to say, you know, I'm sorry. Well, that's a wonderful thing. If you can ever get to the place where you'll do that, it's a wonderful thing. The pride of Esau led to the condemnation not just of Esau, but of generation after generation after generation after generation of people because of his pride. It started very small, but it snowballed into something terrible. And I don't want to be guilty. You see, we have this alternative, a choice to make. We can choose our foolish pride, or we can choose to walk with the Lord and honor Him. And the end of honoring the Lord, swallowing our pride, the end is wonderful. The end of living a life full of pride is not. Look what the Bible says in verse 1 of this chapter. The vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. Now that little phrase, concerning Edom, it puts us in perspective. Everything else that follows in this chapter concerns Edom. This is what God is going to do to Edom. The Bible says, as the verse continues, we have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. What's going to happen to Edom? God is going to rise up against her in battle. Now, I want you to know something. There's a greater implication in our turning our back completely on the Lord. If you're turning your back on the Lord, you're going to face the judgment of Edom. That's the far end of this thing. But the beginning issue is pride. Oh, you know something? If we live a life full of pride, then we are asking God to battle against us. Oh, you know something? I read my Bible, I read through the book of Joshua, the amazing things that God did in battle. I understand the power and knowledge of God, and I'll be quite frank with you. I don't want to battle with God. The end of a battle with God is always going to be failure. But yet we try to so often in our foolish pride to stiffen our necks against God and say, no, I don't want it. And our wicked world does just that. As it says in Psalm 1, they say of the bands of God, His principles and His truths, the kings of the earth want to break them loose. How foolish. The Lord is saying to us in the book of Obadiah that God will rise against her, Edom, in battle. Oh, you know something? I don't want to fight against God. I think I'd soon swallow my pride. The Bible goes on in verse number 2. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. Not only was God going to battle against them, but God was going to belittle them. What once they were so proud of soon would come crashing down and eat them. It's not a very important nation anymore. How many of you have heard Edom mentioned on the news lately? Would you raise your hand? How many of you have heard Israel mentioned on the news lately? Of course. God says, I'm going to battle against you. And if God battles against you, then you're going to lose. He says, not only that, but I'm going to bring you, make you small among the heathen. He's going to belittle you. Verse 3, the Bible says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. What was Edom's sin? Pride. Pride was the root of their transgression. The pride of thy heart hath deceived thee. Look what the next verse says in verse 3. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. That's interesting. Do you know what Obadiah is drawing attention to? The Edomites are famous for dwelling at the tourist attraction in the Holy Land these days called Petra. Petra was a fascinating place. It was the most wonderful place for a nation to hide. It's said that a dozen men could protect the whole nation, all of Petra, from an entire army. The way into Petra was narrow. They say that as you go into Petra, two horses can't go side by side into that place. 12 men could post up and defend this place. It was a wonderful place. It was a high place. And the people of Edom, they become so proud of their Petra that they said in their heart, they said, thou that dwell... Obadiah says of them, you guys, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you've said in your heart, that say in your heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? You know what they said? They said, God can't bring me down. I want you to talk about your pride for a minute. It's so easy to get so puffed up. It's so easy to become comfortable. Have you ever wondered why the Bible makes such an emphasis, why the Bible says it's easier for a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle than to enter into heaven? Why is that? Because people become conceited in their own abilities. People become conceited in their own abilities. And the people, the Edomites, they had got into Petra and they said, even God can't bring us down. We're in this high place. Verse number 4, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Pride always ends into falling. Verse number 5, if thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? I like that. Verse 6. How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? I want you to know something. Obadiah is saying to the Edomites that the things of Esau will be searched out. They'll be found out. You know the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure. I want you to know something. In this world we live, it's easy to be trapped by sin, pride or whatever it is. Be reminded, your sins will find you out. When Obadiah writes this to the Edomites, they are perched high in Petra. They sleep easy at night because they know they can defend themselves. But the Bible teaches Esau will be searched out. And our sins will find us out. And I want to be reminded of that. There's nothing I can hide from God. There's nothing I can hide from God. And may we not turn our backs on Him, but may we turn to Him. How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? Verse number 7. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. That verse just tells us that the things they had trusted in failed. The things they had trusted in failed. Verse number 8, shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men of Edom? You know, there are some people who think, well, it might happen to them, but it's not going to happen to me. I'm wise. I'm sly. My sin, I can do what I want to do. I can live the way I want to live. I can live in rebellion to God and His Word. And Obadiah reminds us that even your wise men, Edom, even then, even your wise men Even your understanding will be destroyed. Verse number 9. And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever. What great judgment God shows on sin. What great judgment God shows on sin. And yet we tempt the Lord. Yet we try Him. Yet we continue. Edom will be judged. And so will our sins. May we not turn our backs on the Lord. May we not turn our backs on the Lord. Oh, you know something? An odd message tonight. I just obey the Lord. Study. And present. Don't you know something? There's something in your life that your pride will not give in. And God wants to remind His people to battle against me is very foolish. To battle with me is very wise. I want to encourage you tonight. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, those things that continually seem to trip you up, don't go to them. Don't continue in sin. Be reminded that Esau, the things of Esau will be searched out. The hidden things sought up. God judges sin. And we fuss and we shout and we scream and we say, we better not ever turn our backs on Israel. And I say, amen. We better not ever turn our backs on Israel. But to you and I, the issue at hand is we better not turn our backs against the principles of the God of Israel, nor turn our backs on the God of Israel. You see, we say we'd never stand against Israel as a nation. You can say that very proudly. Well, I'll never turn my back on Israel. And I'm with you. But I want you to know something. Sin in my life, things I know better than, attitudes that I continue in, that I know I can get help from the Lord and other Christian people. The pride of my life, those are sins that are proof that our hearts are turning away from the God of Israel. And it's not my responsibility alone to stand for a nation, but it is my responsibility alone to stand for the God of the nation of Israel. And may God not find me lumped in the rebellious, sinful, worldly, wicked nation of Edom. And may I learn something from Obadiah tonight.